Sets both of our glasses on the countertop and then leans in and gives me a deep, passionate, drunken kiss. I can taste the tart fruitiness of the wine on his tongue, and I like it. His hands go to the zipper on my onesie. Let's get you out of these clothes. He pulls me toward the bedroom, kissing me while we both struggle out of our clothes. By the time we make it to my bedroom, I'm down to my bra and panties. He shoves me against the door, and I gasp at the unexpectedness of it. Don't move, he says. He presses his lips to my chest, then begins to kiss me slowly as he makes his way down my body. Oh, Lord. Can this day seriously get any better? I run my hands through his hair, but he grabs my wrists and presses them against the door. He climbs back up my body, squeezing my wrists tightly. He raises an eyebrow in warning. I said, don't move. I try not to smile, but it's hard to disguise. He drags his mouth back down my body. He slowly lowers my panties to my ankles, but he told me not to move, so I don't kick them off. His mouth slides up my thigh until... yeah. Best day ever. Chapter 13. Ryle.
Are you at home or still at work?
Me. Work should be done in about an hour. Ryle.
Can I come see you?
Me. You know how people say there is no such thing as a stupid question? They're wrong. That was a stupid question. Ryle. Smiley face. Half an hour later, he's knocking at the front door of the floral shop. I closed the shop almost 3 hours ago, but I'm still here, trying to get caught up on the chaos that was the first month. The store is still too new to get an accurate projection of how well or how bad it's doing. Some days are great, and some are so slow I send Elisa home. But overall, I'm happy with how it's gone so far. And happy with how things are going with Ryle. I unlock the door to let him in. He's in light blue scrubs again, and he still has a stethoscope around his neck. Fresh from work. Very nice touch. I swear, every time I see him straight off a shift, I have to hide the stupid grin on my face. I give him a quick kiss and then turn back toward my office. I have a few things to finish up, and then we can go back to my place. He follows me into my office and closes the door.
You got a couch?
He asks, looking around my office. I've spent some of this week putting the finishing touches on it. I bought a couple of lamps, so I don't have to turn on the overpowering fluorescent lights. The lamps give the room a soft glow. I also bought a few plants to keep here permanently. It's no garden, but it's as close as it gets. It's come a long way since this room was being used as storage for vegetable crates. Ryle walks over to the couch and falls down onto it face first.
Take your time,
he mumbles into the pillow.
I'll just nap until you're finished.
I sometimes worry about how hard he pushes himself with work, but I don't say anything. I've been sitting in my office going on 12 hours now, so I don't have much room to talk when it comes to being too ambitious. I spend the next 15 minutes or so finalizing orders. When I'm finished, I close my laptop and look over at Ryle. I thought he'd be asleep, but instead he's on his side with his head propped up on his hand. He's been watching me this whole time, and seeing the smile on his face makes me blush. I push my chair back and stand up.
Lily, I think I like you too much, he says as I make my way over to him.
I scrunch up my nose as he sits up on the couch and pulls me onto his lap. Too much? That doesn't sound like a compliment.
That's because I don't know if it is, he says.
He adjusts my legs on either side of him and then wraps his arms around my waist.
This is my first real relationship. I don't know if I'm supposed to like you this much yet. I don't want to scare you away.
I laugh, like that could ever happen. You work way too much to smother me.
He rubs his hands up my back. Does it bother you that I work too much?
I shake my head. No, I worry about you sometimes because I don't want you to burn yourself out. But I don't mind that I have to share you with your passion. I actually really like how ambitious you are. It's kind of sexy. It might even be my favorite thing about you.
You know what I like the most about you?
I already know this answer, I say, smiling. My mouth.
He leans his head back against the couch. Oh, yeah. That does come first. But do you know what my second favorite thing about you is?
I shake my head.
You don't put pressure on me to be something I'm incapable of being. You accept me exactly how I am.
I smile. Well, in all fairness, you're a little different from when I first met you. You aren't so anti-girlfriend anymore.
That's because you make it easy,
he says, sliding a hand inside the back of my shirt.
It's easy being with you. I can still have the career I've always wanted, but you make it 10 times better with the way you support me. When I'm with you, I feel like I get to have my cake and eat it too.
Now both of his hands are beneath my shirt, pressed against my back. He pulls me toward him and kisses me. I grin against his mouth and whisper, "Is it the best cake you've ever tasted?" One of his hands moves to the back of my bra, and he unfastens it with ease.
I'm pretty sure, but maybe I need another taste of it to be positive.
He pulls my shirt and bra over my head. I begin to push myself off of him so I can pull off my jeans, but he pulls me back onto his lap. He grabs his stethoscope and puts it in his ears, then presses the diaphragm against my chest, right over my heart.
What's got your heart so worked up, Lily?
I shrug innocently. It might have a little to do with you, Dr. Kincaid. He drops the end of the stethoscope and then lifts me off of him, pushing me back onto the couch. He spreads my legs and kneels down on the couch between them, placing the stethoscope against my chest again. He uses his other hand to hold himself up as he continues listening to my heart.
I'd say you're at about 90 beats per minute,
he says. Is that good or bad? He grins and lowers himself on top of me.
I'll be satisfied when it reaches 140.
Yeah. If it reaches 140, I'm thinking I'll be satisfied too. He lowers his mouth to my chest, and my eyes fall shut when I feel his tongue slide across my breast. He takes me in his mouth, keeping the stethoscope pressed against my chest the entire time.
You're at about 100 now, he says.
He wraps the stethoscope around his neck again and then pulls back, unbuttoning my jeans. Once he slides them off of me, he turns me over until I'm on my stomach, my arms draped over the arm of the couch.
Get on your knees, he says.
I do what he says, and before I'm even adjusted, I feel the cold metal of the stethoscope meet my chest again, this time with his arm snaked around me from behind. I remain still as he listens to my heartbeat. His other hand slowly begins to find its way between my legs and then inside my panties and then inside of me. I grip the couch, but try to keep the noises to a minimum while he listens to my heart.
110,
he says, still unsatisfied. He pulls my hips back to meet him, and then I can feel him freeing himself from his scrubs. He grips my hip with one hand while shoving my panties aside with the other. Then he pushes forward until he's all the way inside of me. I'm grasping the couch with two desperate fists when he pauses to listen to my heart again.
Lily, he says with mock disappointment. 120, not quite where I want you.
The stethoscope disappears again and his arm curls around my waist. His hand slides down my stomach and settles between my legs. I can no longer keep up with his rhythm. I can barely even stay on my knees. He's somehow holding me up with one hand and destroying me in the best possible way with his other hand. Right when I start to tremble, he pulls me upright until my back meets his chest. He's still inside me, but now he's focused on my heart again as he moves his stethoscope around to the front of my chest. I let out a moan, and he presses his lips to my ear.
Shh. No noises.
I have no idea how I make it through the next 30 seconds without making another sound. One of his arms is wrapped around me with a stethoscope pressed to my chest. His other arm is tight against my stomach as his hand continues its magic between my legs. He's still somehow deep inside me, and I'm trying to move against him, but he's rock solid as the tremors begin to rush through me. My legs are shaking and my hands are at my sides, gripping the tops of his thighs as it takes every ounce of my strength not to scream out his name. I'm still shaking when he lifts my hand and places the diaphragm against my wrist. After several seconds, he pulls the stethoscope away and tosses it to the floor.
150, he says with satisfaction.
He pulls out of me and flips me onto my back, and then his mouth is on mine and he's inside me again. My body is too weak to move, and I can't even open my eyes and watch him. He thrusts against me several times and then holds still, groaning into my mouth. He drops on top of me, tense, yet shaking. He kisses my neck, and then his lips meet the tattoo of the heart on my collarbone. He finally settles against my neck and sighs.
"Have I already mentioned tonight how much I like you?"
he asks. I laugh. "Once or twice."
"Consider this the third time," he says. "I like you. Everything about you, Lily. Being inside of you, being outside of you, being near you. I like it all."
I smile, loving how his words feel against my skin, inside my heart. I open my mouth to tell him I like him, too, but my voice is cut off by the sound of his phone. He groans against my neck and then pulls out of me and reaches for his phone. He pulls his scrubs back into place and laughs as he looks at his caller ID.
"It's my mother,"
he says, leaning over and kissing the top of my knee that's resting against the back of the couch. He tosses the phone aside and then stands and walks over to my desk, grabbing a box of tissues. This is always awkward, having to clean up after sex. But I can't say it's ever been this awkward before, knowing his mother is on the other end of that ring. Once all my clothes are back in place, he pulls me against him on the couch and I lie down on top of him, resting my head on his chest. It's after 10 now, and I'm so comfortable I debate just sleeping here for the night. Ryle's phone makes another noise, alerting him to a new voicemail. The thought of seeing him interact with his mother makes me smile. Elisa talks about their parents some, but I've never really talked to Ryle about them before. "Do you get along with your parents?" His arm stroking mine gently.
"Yeah, I do. They're good people. We hit a rough patch when I was a teenager, but we worked through it. I talk to my mother almost daily now."
I fold my arms over his chest and rest my chin on them, looking up at him. "Will you tell me more about your mother? Elisa told me they moved to England a few years ago, and that they were in Australia on vacation, but that was like a month ago." He laughs.
"My mother? Well, my mother is very overbearing, very judgmental, especially of the people she loves the most. She's never missed a single church service, and I have never heard her refer to my father as anything other than Dr. Kincaid."
Despite the warnings, he smiles the whole time he talks about her. "Your father is a doctor, too?" He nods.
"Psychiatrist. He chose a field that also allowed him to have a normal life. Smart man."
"Do they ever visit you in Boston?"
Not really. My mother hates flying, so Elisa and I fly to England a couple of times a year. She does want to meet you, though, so you might be going with us on the next trip.
I grin. You've told your mother about me?
Of course, he says. This is kind of a monumental thing, you know. Me having a girlfriend. She calls me every day to make sure I haven't screwed it up somehow.
I laugh, which makes him reach for his phone.
You think I'm kidding? I guarantee she somehow brought you up in the voicemail she just left.
He presses a few keys and then begins to play the voicemail. Hey, sweetheart, it's your mom. Haven't spoken to you since yesterday. Miss you. Give Lily a hug for me. You do still see her, right? Elisa says you can't stop talking about her. She is still your girlfriend, right? Okay, Gretchen's here. We're having high tea. Love you. Kiss, kiss.
I press my face against his chest and laugh. We've only been dating a few months. How much do you talk about me?
He pulls my hand up between us and kisses it.
Too much, Lily. Way too much.
I smile. I can't wait to meet them. Not only did they raise an incredible daughter, but they made you. That's pretty impressive. His arms tighten around me, and he kisses the top of my head. What was your brother's name? I ask him. I can feel a slight stiffness in him after I ask that. I regret bringing it up, but it's too late to take it back.
Emerson.
I can tell by his voice that it's not something he wants to talk about right now. Instead of pressing it further, I lift my head and scoot forward, pressing my mouth to his. I should know better. Kisses can't seem to stop, it just kisses when it comes to me and Ryle. In a matter of minutes, he's inside of me again. But this time, it's everything the other time wasn't. This time, we make love. Chapter 14. My phone rings. I pick it up to see who it is, and I'm a little taken aback. It's the first time Ryle has ever called me. We always just text. How odd to have a boyfriend for over 3 months that I've never once spoken to on the phone. Hello?
Hey, girlfriend,
he says. I smile cheesily at the sound of his voice. Hey, boyfriend.
Guess what?
What?
I'm taking the day off tomorrow. Your floral shop doesn't open until 1 o'clock on Sundays. I'm on my way to your apartment with 2 bottles of wine. You want to have a sleepover with your boyfriend and have drunken sex all night and sleep until noon?
It's really embarrassing what his words do to me. I smile and say, guess what?
What?
I'm cooking you dinner, and I'm wearing an apron.
Oh, yeah?
He says, just an apron. And then I hang up. A few seconds later, I get a text message. Ryle.
Pick, please.
Me. Get over here, and you can take the picture yourself. I'm almost finished preparing the casserole mixture when the door opens. I pour it into the glass pan and don't turn around when I hear him walk into the kitchen. When I said I was just wearing an apron, I meant it. I'm not even wearing panties. I can hear him suck in a rush of air when I reach over to the oven and stick the casserole inside. I might reach a little too far for show when I do it. When I close the oven, I don't face him. I grab a rag and start wiping down the oven, making sure to sway my hips as much as possible. I squeal when I feel a piercing sting on my right butt cheek. I spin around and Ryle is grinning, holding 2 bottles of wine. Did you just bite me? He gives me an innocent look.
Don't tempt the scorpion if you don't want to get stung.
He eyes me up and down while he opens one of the bottles. He holds it up before he pours us a glass and says,
it's vintage.
Vintage, I say with mock impression. What's the special occasion? He hands me a glass and says,
I'm going to be an uncle. I have a smoking hot girlfriend. And I get to perform a very rare, possibly once-in-a-lifetime craniopagus separation on Monday. A craniop... what? He finishes off his glass of wine and pours himself another one. Craniopagus separation. Conjoined twins, he says. He points to a spot on the top of his head and taps it. Attached right here. We've been studying them since they were born. It's a very rare surgery. Very rare. For the first time, I think I'm genuinely turned on by him as a doctor. I mean, I admire his drive. I admire his dedication. But seeing how excited he is about what he's doing for a living is seriously sexy. How long do you think it'll take? I ask. He shrugs. Not sure. They're young, so being under general anesthesia for too long is a concern. He holds up his right hand and wiggles his fingers. But this is a very special hand that has been through almost $500,000 worth of specialty education. I have a lot of faith in this hand. I walk over to him and press my lips to his palm. I'm a little fond of this hand, too. He slides the hand down to my neck and then spins me so that I'm flush against the counter. I gasp because I wasn't expecting that. He pushes himself against me from behind and slowly slides his hand down the side of my body. I press my palms into the granite and close my eyes, already feeling the rush of the wine. This hand, he whispers, is the steadiest hand in all of Boston. He pushes on the back of my neck, bending me further over the counter. His hand meets the inside of my knee, and he glides it upward, slowly. Jesus. He pushes my legs apart, and then his fingers are inside me. I moan and try to find something to hold on to. I grip the faucet just as he begins to work magic. And then, just like a magician, his hand disappears. I hear him walking out of the kitchen. I watch as he passes the front of the counter. He winks at me, downs the rest of his glass of wine, and says, I'm going to take a quick shower. What a tease. You asshole, I yell after him. I'm not an asshole, he yells from my bedroom. I'm a highly trained neurosurgeon. I laugh and pour myself another glass of wine. I'll show him who the tease really is. I'm on my third glass of wine when he walks out of my bedroom. I'm on the phone with my mother, so I watch him from the couch as he makes his way to the kitchen and pours himself another glass. That is some seriously good wine. What are you doing tonight? My mother asks. I have her on speakerphone. Ryle is leaning against a wall, watching me talk to her. Not much. Helping Ryle study. That sounds not very interesting, she says. Ryle winks at me. It's actually very interesting, I say to her. I help him study a lot, mostly reviewing fine motor control of the hands. In fact, we'll probably be up all night studying. The three glasses of wine has made me frisky. I can't believe I'm flirting with him while I'm on the phone with my mother. Gross. I gotta go, I tell her. We're taking Elisa and Marshall out to dinner tomorrow night, so I'll call you on Monday. Oh, where are you taking them? I roll my eyes. The woman can't take a hint. I don't know. Ryle, where are we taking them?
That place we went to that one time with your mom, he says. Bibbs? I made reservation for 6 o'clock.
My heart feels like it slinks down my chest. My mother says, oh, good choice. Yeah, if you like stale bread. Bye, Mom. I hang up and look at Ryle. I don't want to go back there. I didn't like it. Let's try something new. I fail to tell him why I really don't want to go back there. But how do you tell your brand new boyfriend that you're trying to avoid your first love? Ryle pushes off the wall.
You'll be fine, he says. Elisa's excited to eat there. I told her all about it.
Maybe I'll get lucky, and Atlas won't be working.
Speaking of food, Ryle says, I'm starving.
The casserole. Oh, shit, I say, laughing. Ryle rushes to the kitchen, and I stand up and follow him in there. I walk in just as he pulls the oven door open and waves away the smoke. Ruined. I get dizzy all of a sudden from standing up too fast after having 3 glasses of wine. I grab the counter beside him to steady myself just as he reaches in to pull the burnt casserole out. Ryle, you need a...
Shit!
He yells. Pot holder! The casserole falls from his hand and lands on the floor, shattering everywhere. I lift up my feet to avoid broken glass and mushroom chicken splatter. I start laughing as soon as I realize he didn't even think to use the pot holder. Must be the wine. This is some seriously strong wine. He slams the oven shut and moves to the faucet, shoving his hand under the cold water, muttering curse words. I'm trying to suppress my laughter, but the wine and the ridiculousness of the last few seconds are making it hard. I look at the floor, at the mess we're about to have to clean up, and the laughter bursts from me. I'm still laughing as I lean over to get a look at Ryle's hand. I hope he didn't hurt it too bad. I'm instantly not laughing anymore. I'm on the floor, my hand pressed against the corner of my eye. In a matter of 1 second, Ryle's arm came out of nowhere and slammed against me, knocking me backward. There was enough force behind it to knock me off balance. When I lost my footing, I hit my face on one of the cabinet door handles as I came down. Pain shoots through the corner of my eye right near my temple. And then I feel the weight. Heaviness follows, and it presses down on every part of me. So much gravity pushing down on my emotions. Everything shatters. My tears, my heart, my laughter, my soul, shattered like broken glass raining down around me. I wrap my arms over my head and try to wish away the last 10 seconds.
God damn it, Lily.
I hear him say,
it's not funny. This hand is my fucking career.
I don't look up at him. His voice doesn't penetrate through my body this time. It feels like it's stabbing me now, the sharpness of each of his words coming at me like swords. Then I feel him next to me, his goddamn hand on my back. Rubbing.
Lily,
he says.
Oh God, Lily.
He tries to pull my arms from my head, but I refuse to budge. I start shaking my head, wanting the last 15 seconds to go away. 15 seconds. That's all it takes to completely change everything about a person. 15 seconds that we'll never get back. He pulls me against him and starts kissing the top of my head.
I'm so sorry. I burned my hand. I panicked. You were laughing, and I'm so sorry it all happened so fast. I didn't mean to push you, Lily. I'm sorry.
I don't hear Ryle's voice this time. All I hear is my father's voice.
I'm sorry, Jenny. It was an accident. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, Lily. It was an accident. I'm so sorry.
I just want him away from me. I use every ounce of strength I have in both my hands and legs, and I force him the fuck away from me. He falls backward onto his hands. His eyes are full of genuine sorrow, but then they're full of something else. Worry? Panic? He slowly pulls up his right hand, and it's covered in blood. Blood is trickling out of his palm, down his wrist. I look at the floor, at the shattered pieces of glass from the casserole dish. His hand. I just pushed him onto glass. He turns around and pulls himself up. He sticks his hand under the stream of water and starts rinsing away the blood. I stand up just as he pulls a sliver of glass out of his palm and tosses it on the counter. I'm full of so much anger, but somehow concern for his hand still finds its way out. I grab a towel and shove it into his fist. There's so much blood.
It's his right hand. His surgery Monday. I try to help stop the bleeding, but I'm shaking too bad. Ryle, your hand. He pulls the hand away, and with his good hand, he lifts my chin.
Fuck the hand, Lily. I don't care about my hand. Are you okay?
He's looking back and forth between my eyes frantically as he assesses the cut on my face. My shoulders begin to shake, and huge, hurt-filled tears spill down my cheeks. No. I'm a little in shock, and I know he can hear my heart breaking with just that one word, because I can feel it in every part of me. Oh my God, you pushed me, Ryle. You... The realization of what has just happened hurts worse than the actual action. Ryle wraps his arm around my neck and desperately holds me against him.
I'm so sorry, Lily. God, I'm so sorry.
He buries his face against my hair, squeezing me with every emotion inside of him.
Please don't hate me. Please.
His voice slowly starts to become Ryle's voice again, and I feel it in my stomach, in my toes. His entire career depends on his hand, so it has to say something that he's not even worried about it. Right? I'm so confused. There's too much happening. The smoke, the wine, the broken glass, the food splattered everywhere, the blood, the anger, the apologies. It's too much.
I'm so sorry,
he says again. I pull back, and his eyes are red, and I've never seen him look so sad.
I panicked. I didn't mean to push you away. I just panicked. All I could think about was the surgery Monday and my hand, and I'm so sorry.
He presses his mouth to mine and breathes me in. He's not like my father. He can't be. He's nothing like that uncaring bastard. We're both upset and kissing and confused and sad. I've never felt anything like this moment, so ugly and painful. But somehow the only thing that eases the hurt just caused by this man is this man. My tears are soothed by his sorrow, my emotions soothed with his mouth against mine, his hand gripping me like he never wants to let go. I feel his arms go around my waist, and he picks me up, carefully stepping through the mess we've made. I can't tell if I'm more disappointed in him or myself. Him for losing his temper in the first place, or me for somehow finding comfort in his apology. He carries me and kisses me all the way to my bedroom. He's still kissing me when he lowers me to the bed and whispers,
I'm sorry, Lily.
He moves his lips to the spot on my eye that hit the cabinet, and he kisses me there.
I'm so sorry.
His mouth is on mine again, hot and wet, and I don't even know what's happening to me. I'm hurting so much on the inside, yet my body craves his apology in the form of his mouth and his hands on me. I want to lash out at him and react like I always wish my mother would have reacted when my father hurt her. But deep down, I want to believe that it really was an accident. Ryle isn't like my father. He's nothing like him. I need to feel his sorrow, his regret. I get both of these things in the way he kisses me. I spread my legs for him, and his sorrow comes in another form. Slow, apologetic thrusts inside of me. Every time he enters me, he whispers another apology. And by some miracle, every time he pulls out of me, my anger leaves with him. He's kissing my shoulder, my cheek, my eye. He's still on top of me, touching me gently. I've never been touched like this, with such tenderness. I try to forget what happened in the kitchen, but it's everything right now. He pushed me away from him. Ryle pushed me. For 15 seconds, I saw a side of him, that wasn't me. I laughed at him when I should have been concerned.
He shoved me when he should have never touched me. I pushed him away and caused him to cut his hand. It was awful. The whole thing, the entire 15 seconds it lasted, was absolutely awful. I never want to think about it again. He still has the rag balled up in his hand, and it's soaked with blood. I push against his chest. "I'll be right back," I tell him. He kisses me one more time and rolls off of me. I walk to the bathroom and close the door. I look in the mirror and gasp. Blood. In my hair, on my cheeks, on my body. It's all his blood. I grab a rag and try to wash some off, and then I look under the sink for the first aid kit. I have no idea how bad his hand is. First he burned it, then he sliced it open. Not even an hour after he was just telling me how important this surgery was to him. No more wine. We're never allowed vintage wine again. I grab the box from under the sink and open the bedroom door. He's walking back into the bedroom from the kitchen with a small bag of ice. He holds it up.
"For your eye,"
he says. I hold up the first aid kit. "For your hand." We both smile and then sit back down on the bed. He leans against the headboard while I pull his hand to my lap. The whole time I'm dressing his wound, he's holding the bag of ice against my eye. I squeeze some antiseptic cream onto my finger and dab it against the burns on his fingers. They don't look as bad as I thought they might be, so that's a relief. "Can you prevent it from blistering?" I ask him. He shakes his head.
"Not if it's second degree."
I want to ask him if he can still perform the surgery if his fingers have blisters on them come Monday, but I don't bring it up. I'm sure that's on the forefront of his mind right now. "Do you want me to put some on your cut?" He nods. The bleeding has stopped. I'm sure if he needed stitches, he'd get some, but I think it'll be fine. I pull the ace bandage out of the first aid kit and begin wrapping his hand.
"Lily,"
he whispers. I look up at him. His head is resting against the headboard, and it looks like he wants to cry.
"I feel terrible,"
he says.
"If I could take it back."
"I know," I say, cutting him off. "I know, Ryle. It was terrible. You pushed me. You made me question everything I thought I knew about you. But I know you feel bad about it. We can't take it back. I don't want to bring it up again." I secure the bandage around his hand and then look him in the eye. "But Ryle, if anything like that ever happens again, I'll know that this time wasn't just an accident, and I'll leave you without a second thought." He stares at me for a long time, his eyebrows drawn apart in regret. He leans forward and presses his lips against mine.
"It won't happen again, Lily. I swear. I'm not like him. I know that's what you're thinking, but I swear to you."
I shake my head, wanting him to stop. I can't take the pain in his voice. "I know you're nothing like my father," I say. "Just, please don't ever make me doubt you again. Please." He brushes hair from my forehead.
"You're the most important part of my life, Lily. I want to be what brings you happiness, not what causes you to hurt."
He kisses me and then stands up and leans over me, pressing the ice to my face.
"Hold this here for about 10 more minutes. It'll prevent it from swelling."
I replace his hand with mine. "Where are you going?" He kisses me on the forehead and says,
"To clean up my mess."
He spends the next 20 minutes cleaning the kitchen. I can hear glass being tossed into the trash can, wine being poured out in the sink. I go to the bathroom and take a quick shower to get his blood off of me, and then I change the sheets on my bed. When he finally has the kitchen cleaned up, he comes to the bedroom with a glass. He hands it to me.
"It's soda," he says. "The caffeine will help."
I take a drink of it and feel it fizz down my throat. It's actually the perfect thing. I take another drink and set it on my nightstand. What's it help with? The hangover? Ryle slides into bed and pulls the covers over us. He shakes his head.
No, I don't think soda actually helps anything. My mom just used to give me a soda after I'd had a bad day, and it always made me feel a little better.
I smile. Well, it worked. He brushes his hand down my cheek, and I can see in his eyes and in the way he touches me that he deserves at least one chance at forgiveness. I feel if I don't find a way to forgive him, I'll somehow be placing blame on him for the resentment I still hold for my father. He's not like my father. Ryle loves me. He's never come out and said it before, but I know he does. And I love him. What happened in the kitchen tonight is something I'm confident won't happen again. Not after seeing how upset he is that he hurt me. All humans make mistakes. What determines a person's character aren't the mistakes we make. It's how we take those mistakes and turn them into lessons rather than excuses. Ryle's eyes somehow grow even more sincere, and he leans over and kisses my hand. He settles his head into the pillow, and we just lie there, staring at each other, sharing this unspoken energy that fills all the holes the night has left in us. After a few minutes, he squeezes my hand.
Lily,
he says, brushing his thumb over mine.
I'm in love with you.
I feel his words in every part of me, and when I whisper, I love you too, it's the most naked truth I've ever spoken to him. Chapter 15. I arrive at the restaurant 15 minutes late. Right when I was about to close tonight, I had a customer come in to order flowers for a funeral. I couldn't turn them away because, sadly, funerals are the best business for florists. Ryle waves me over to the table, and I walk straight to them, doing my best not to look around. I don't want to see Atlas. I tried twice to get them to change the restaurant location, but Elisa was hell-bent on eating here after Ryle told her how good it was. I slide into the booth, and Ryle leans over and kisses me on the cheek.
Hey, girlfriend.
Elisa groans, God, you guys are so cute, it's sickening. I smile at her, and her eyes immediately go to the corner of my eye. It doesn't look as bad as I thought it might today, which is probably due to Ryle forcing me to keep eyes on it. Oh my God, Elisa says. Ryle told me what happened, but I didn't think it was that bad. I glance at Ryle, wondering what he told her. The truth? He smiles and says,
Olive oil was everywhere. When she slipped, it was so graceful you'd think she was a ballerina.
A lie. Fair enough, I would have done the same thing. It was pretty pathetic, I say with a laugh. Somehow we get through dinner without a hitch. No sign of Atlas, no thoughts of last night, and Ryle and I both avoid the wine. After we're finished with our food, our waiter approaches the table.
Care for dessert?
He asks. I shake my head, but Elisa perks up. What do you have? Marshall looks just as interested.
We're eating for two, so we'll take anything chocolate, he says.
The waiter nods, and when he walks away, Elisa looks at Marshall. This baby is the size of a bedbug right now. You better not encourage bad habits for the next several months. The waiter returns with a dessert cart.
The chef gives all expectant mothers dessert on the house, he says. Congratulations.
He does? Elisa says, perking up.
Guess that's why it's called bibs, Marshall says. Chef likes the babies.
We all look at the cart.
Oh, God, I say, looking at the options.
This is my new favorite restaurant, Elisa says. We pick out three desserts for the table. The four of us spend the time waiting for it to be served, discussing baby names. No, Elisa says to Marshall, we're not naming this baby after a state.
But I love Nebraska, he whines. Idaho?
Elisa drops her head in her hands. This is going to be the demise of our marriage.
Demise, Marshall says. That's actually a good name.
Marshall's murder is thwarted by the arrival of dessert. Our waiter places a piece of chocolate cake in front of Elisa and steps aside to make room for the waiter behind him, who is holding the two other desserts. The waiter motions toward the guy placing our desserts down and says, "The chef would like to extend his congratulations."
"How was the meal?"
the chef asks, looking at Elisa and Marshall. By the time his eyes make it to mine, my anxiety is seeping from me. Atlas locks eyes with me, and without thinking, I blurt out, "You're the chef?" The waiter leans around Atlas and says,
"The chef, the owner, sometimes waiter, sometimes dishwasher. He gives a new meaning to hands-on."
The next 5 seconds go unnoticed by everyone at our table, but they play out in slow motion to me. Atlas's eyes fall to the cut on my eye, the bandage wrapped around Ryle's hand, back to my eye. "We love your restaurant," Elisa says. "You have an incredible place here." Atlas doesn't look at her. I see the roll of his throat as he swallows. His jaw hardens and he says nothing as he walks away. Shit. The waiter tries to cover for Atlas's hasty retreat by smiling and showing way too many teeth.
"Enjoy your dessert,"
he says, scuffling off to the kitchen.
"Bummer," Elisa says. "We find a new favorite restaurant and the chef is an asshole."
Ryle laughs.
"Yeah, but the assholes are the best ones. Gordon Ramsay?"
"Good point,"
Marshall says. I put my hand on Ryle's arm. "Bathroom," I tell him. He nods as I scoot out of the booth, and Marshall says,
"What about Wolfgang Puck? You think he's an asshole?"
I walk across the restaurant, head down, fast-paced. As soon as I get into the familiar hallway, I keep going. I push open the door to the women's restroom and then turn around and lock it. Shit. Shit, shit, shit. The look in his eye. The anger in his jaw. I'm relieved he walked away, but I'm half convinced he's probably going to be waiting outside the restaurant when we leave, ready to kick Ryle's ass. I breathe in my nose, out my mouth, wash my hands, repeat the breathing. Once I'm more calm, I dry my hands on a towel. I'll just go back out there and tell Ryle I'm not feeling well. We'll leave, and we'll never come back. They all think the chef is an asshole, so that can be my excuse. I unlock the door, but I don't pull it open. It starts pushing open from the other side, so I step back. Atlas steps inside the bathroom with me and locks the door. His back rests against the door as he stares at me, focused on the cut near my eye.
"What happened?"
he asks. I shake my head. "Nothing." His eyes are narrow, still ice blue, but somehow burning with fire.
"You're lying, Lily."
I muster enough of a smile to get me by. "It was an accident." Atlas laughs, but then his face falls flat.
"Leave him."
Leave him? Jesus, he thinks this is something else entirely. I take a step forward and shake my head. "He's not like that, Atlas. It wasn't like that. Ryle is a good person." He tilts his head and leans it forward a little bit.
"Funny. You sound just like your mother."
His words sting. I immediately try to reach around him for the door, but he grabs my wrist.
"Leave him, Lily."
I yank my hand away. I turn my back to him and inhale a deep breath. I release it slowly as I face him again. If it's any comparison at all, I'm more scared of you right now than I've ever been of him. My words make Atlas pause for a moment. His nod starts out slowly and then gets more prominent as he steps away from the door.
"I certainly didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable."
He motions toward the door.
just trying to repay the concern you've always shown me.
I stare at him for a moment, unsure how to take his words. He's still raging on the inside, I can see it. But on the outside, he's calm, collected, allowing me to leave. I reach forward and unlock the door, then pull it open. I gasp when my eyes meet Ryle's. I quickly glance over my shoulder to see Atlas filing out of the bathroom with me. Ryle's eyes fill with confusion as he looks from me to Atlas.
What the fuck, Lily?
Ryle, my voice shakes. God, this looks so much worse than it is. Atlas steps around me and turns toward the doors to the kitchen as if Ryle doesn't even exist to him. Ryle's eyes are glued to Atlas's back. Keep walking, Atlas. Right when Atlas reaches the kitchen doors, he pauses. No, no, no. Keep walking. In what becomes one of the most dreadful moments I can imagine, he spins around and strides toward Ryle, grabbing him by the collar of his shirt. Almost as soon as it happens, Ryle forces Atlas back and slams him against the opposite wall. Atlas lunges for Ryle again, this time shoving his forearm against Ryle's throat, pinning him against the wall.
You touch her again, and I'll cut your fucking hand off and shove it down your throat, you worthless piece of shit.
Atlas, stop! I yell. Atlas releases Ryle forcefully, taking a huge step back. Ryle is breathing heavily, staring at Atlas long and hard. Then his focus moves directly to me.
Atlas?
He says his name with familiarity. Why is Ryle saying Atlas's name like that, like he's heard me say it before? I've never told him about Atlas. Wait, I did. That first night on the roof, it was one of my naked truths. Ryle lets out a disbelieving laugh and points at Atlas, but he's still looking at me.
This is Atlas? The homeless boy you pity fucked?
Oh, God. The hallway instantly becomes a blur of fists and elbows and my screams for them to stop. Two waiters push through the door behind me and shove past me, separating them just as quickly as it started. They're pushed apart against opposite walls, staring each other down, breathing heavily. I can't even look at either of them. I can't look at Atlas, not after what Ryle just said to him. I also can't look at Ryle because he's probably thinking the absolute worst possible thing right now.
Out, Atlas yells, pointing at the door but looking at Ryle. Get the hell out of my restaurant.
I meet Ryle's eyes as he begins to walk past me, scared of what I'll see in them. But there isn't any anger there. Only hurt. Lots of hurt. He pauses as if he's about to say something to me, but his face just twists into disappointment and he walks back out into the restaurant. I finally glance up at Atlas and can see disappointment all across his face. Before I can explain away Ryle's words to him, he turns and walks away, pushing through the kitchen doors. I immediately turn and run after Ryle. He grabs his jacket from the booth and walks toward the exit without even looking at Elisa and Marshall. Elisa looks up at me and holds her hands up in question. I shake my head, grab my purse, and say, "It's a long story. We'll talk tomorrow." I follow Ryle outside and he's walking toward the parking lot. I run to catch up to him and he just stops and punches at the air.
"I didn't bring my fucking car," he yells, frustrated.
I pull my keys out of my purse, and he walks up to me and snatches them from my hand. Again, I follow him, this time to my car. I don't know what to do. I don't know if he even wants to speak to me right now.
He just saw me locked in a bathroom with a guy I used to be in love with. Then, out of nowhere, that guy attacks him. God, this is so bad. When we reach my car, he heads straight for the driver's side door. He points to the passenger side and says, "Get in, Lily." He doesn't speak to me the entire time we're driving. I say his name once, but he just shakes his head like he's not ready to hear my explanation yet. When we pull into my parking garage, he gets out of the car as soon as he turns it off, like he can't get away from me fast enough. He's pacing the length of the car when I get out. It wasn't what it looked like, Ryle, I swear. He stops pacing, and when he looks at me, my heart doubles over. There's so much pain in his eyes right now, and it's not even necessary. It was all due to a stupid misunderstanding.
"I didn't want this, Lily," he says. "I didn't want a relationship. I didn't want this stress in my life."
As much as he's hurting because of what he thinks he saw, his words still piss me off. "Well, then leave."
"What?"
I throw my hands up. "I don't want to be your burden, Ryle. I'm so sorry my presence in your life is so unbearable." He takes a step forward.
"Lily, that's not at all what I'm saying."
He throws his hands up in frustration and then walks past me. He leans against my car and folds his arms over his chest. There's a long stretch of silence while I wait for what he has to say. His head is down, but he lifts it slightly, looking up at me.
"Naked truths, Lily. That's all I want from you right now. Can you please give me that?"
I nod.
"Did you know he worked there?"
I purse my lips together and wrap my arms over my chest, grabbing at my elbow. "Yes. That's why I didn't want to go back, Ryle. I didn't want to run into him." My answer seems to release a little of his tension. He runs a hand down his face.
"Did you tell him what happened last night? Did you tell him about our fight?"
I take a step forward and shake my head adamantly. "No, he assumed. He saw my eye and your hand, and he just assumed." He blows out a laden breath and leans his head back, looking up at the roof. It looks like it's almost too painful for him to even ask the next question.
"Why were you alone with him in the bathroom?"
I take another step forward. "He followed me in there. I know nothing about him now, Ryle. I didn't even know he owned that restaurant. I thought he was just a waiter. He's not a part of my life anymore, I swear. He just..." I fold my arms together and drop my voice. "We both grew up in abusive households. He saw my face and your hand, and he was just worried for me. That's all it was." Ryle brings his hands up and covers his mouth. I can hear the air rushing through his fingers as he releases his breath. He stands up straight, allowing himself a moment to soak in all I've just said.
"My turn," he says.
He pushes off the car and takes the three steps toward me that previously separated us. He puts both hands on my cheeks and looks me dead in the eyes.
"If you don't want to be with me, please tell me right now, Lily. Because when I saw you with him, that hurt. I never want to feel that again. And if it hurts this much now, I'm terrified to think of what it could do to me a year from now."
I can feel the tears begin to stream down my cheeks. I place my hands on top of his and shake my head. "I don't want anyone else, Ryle. I only want you." He forces the saddest smile I've ever seen on a human. He pulls me to him and holds me there. I wrap my arms around him as tight as I can as he presses his lips to the side of my head.
"I love you, Lily. God, I love you."
I squeeze him tight, pressing a kiss to his shoulder. I love you too. I close my eyes and wish I could wash away the entire last 2 days. Atlas is wrong.